you know, that kind of corruption, that level that we often don't pay attention to. So you are a trader, you do some sharp practices, and you don't think that you're practicing corruption. Your mind doesn't even go there. For you, it's survival. They're saying that, well, learned people, researchers are saying that that's the biggest problem that Nigeria has. Because you, me, we are more than the few of the politicians. We're trying to reach out to Dr. Brown Ogbeifun, who is my guest this morning. He will be the one to highlight everything. We're trying to get him on Skype. If we can't get him on Skype, we'll try and call him over the phone. They will try and reach out to him over the phone. Then we can bring him on the show. But personally speaking, researches have been done. I mean, various researches have been done, especially concerning Nigeria's low-level corruption. A lot of things have gone on. I was looking at one of such researches, and they stated it there quite clearly that there is more corruption at the grassroots. There is more people. We have more people that are corrupt at the grassroots level than the few politicians that we have. Oftentimes, people point fingers at the legislators, the governors, the politicians generally, civil servants generally, but then these civil servants are actually low level as well. No, you check it. They're actually low level individuals as well. The same thing that you can say for somebody who is selling pepper in the market, or someone who is selling ewedu or ugu or ata or something, pepper, yeah. If you go to the market, you see how traders practice, how traders trade in the market. Everybody is always watching behind this. Everybody is always conscious of the whatever business they're transacting at the market. Why? Because we don't trust one another. Face the reality. It's the truth. We don't trust one another. We feel that someone is trying to play a fast one on us. It's usually the case. Usually the case. Whenever we want to transact any business with ourselves, but still we point fingers at the politicians because they are the easy targets. But amongst ourselves, we know if you're giving somebody a job right now, you want to be there to see that thing that that person won't do because you don't trust that you're going to get the best. That's just the situation right now. But we'll bring perspective to the conversation. I will try as much as possible to make sure that we're having some technical issues here. I will try as much as possible to get Dr. Brown on the show this morning. Once we're able to get him on the show, we'll come to you and we have a conversation with him. We have him on the telephone right now. So we'll be having him on the show right away. Dr. Brown, a very lovely morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing today?
Very well, Dr. Brown, very well. We've been having issues connecting with you on Skype. Let's make do with the telephone.
No problems.
Okay, so let's get on with the conversation. Low-level corruption in Nigeria. Where we will start is, how bad is the situation?
How bad is the situation? Good morning, 99.3 Info. Thank you so much for having me. Good morning, Nigerians. Before I answer that question, if you don't mind, let me just build a little background for us to be able to know how bad it is.
I don't mind.
First, let us understand the fact that corruption is a global citizen. But the magnitude of acceptance is what differs from country to country, and the ability to accept that it occurs is one way forward of trying to tackle it. Because of want of time, I don't think you want us to start defining what corruption is or what it is not. But the truth is, whether it is in the public space or private space, our corruption index as of today is bad off. Because I'm sure you know that in 2019, Nigeria dropped from 146 to about 149 on the CPI. That's the Corruption Perception Index.
Right.
The TI's new Corruption Perception Index says that Nigeria scored 25 over 100. Ordinarily, even when we are in school, you know that that's a failure, which is 1 point
very,
less than
very
the 6 points in the previous year.
Very true.
And Nigeria is said to have lost about $600 billion to corruption since independence. If you calculate that in Naira, you know how many trillions of that is. But however, We also know very well that what the Corruption Perception Index is all about is that it is measuring perception instead of corruption itself.
Right.
And therefore, it may lead to stereotyping and cliches, which may affect some countries more than the other. Mm. And the index only measures public sector corruption. It ignores the private sector. Right. And I think what we are doing this morning, therefore, is to beam such light on that private sector, which is individualistic, which is in our market system. Mm. And then when we look at the types of corruption, for instance, we know that we have the systemic endemic, is structural, it could be systemic, it's institutional. Mm. And you have high level of political corruption, which takes place at the highest level of political endeavors. But what we are discussing this morning, you talk about the petty corruption level.
Right.
Now, the analogy I want to draw is this. Then we now say, is it really bad or not? Mm. The truth is, when you go to the market, just the market, mm-hmm. and the beautiful woman that is selling gari mm-hmm. for you or tomatoes try to punch the mudu that is you, mm-hmm. for instance, okay?
Yeah.
And when he punches it up, what does that do? It's giving you lower and lesser quantity for what you have paid for.
Right.
All right?
Right.
They join unions. Unions determine who sells today, who doesn't sell, and they tell them who can take, who cannot take. The organizer by the roadside, for instance, falsify the air pressures to be able to make a little more money. Mm. The mechanic that you take your car to, for instance, all right, connives with the spare parts dealers to give you something that you that is lower than what you have paid for in terms of quality.
Right.
Artisans that you have given jobs to do in your site. Maybe you are building, for instance, before you know it, they want to use a bag of cement where they're supposed to use five, and they sell off the other four.
Mm.
The person that is taking the trips of sands on your behalf mm-hmm. takes almost half of the lorry, they take half back, and then the lorry that is discharging them and the grinder will need to shut you off some level of quantity, all right? And the money is shared among all those who are connected together. What about the taxi driver that you gave your car to?
Mm.
He makes 10,000 naira in the day and tells you, okay, now only 1,000 naira I don't make today because police arrest me and the car go break down safe on road. Mm. I don't feel do anything.
Mm.
It goes on and on in schools, in hospitals. So you look at it as petty, but it's so profuse and diffuse in our system.
Mm.
And that adds to the woes of the common person. So in as much as the system is not beaming a searchlight on this, I think it is bad off.
Mm.
And it is the basement for the higher things that will come.
Right.
In the family that is supposed to be the unit in measuring an ideal society, a father gives the child 10,000 naira to go to school. The mom calls him aside and says, take this 10,000 naira. Not let your papa know. Not let your sister know.
Hmm.
What do we call all that, if not corruption? All right? So all this comes in the sphere of emotion and moral discretion, oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
And at times it could be individualistic. It is not systemic. So because it is individualistic, we don't tend to pay attention to it, but it is wreaking havoc on society.
Mm-hmm.
The man that is going to be your president tomorrow, the man that is going to be your governor tomorrow, is from a family.
Mm-hmm.
And that family has been corruption laden right from when he was a kid. What do you expect when that person grows up?
Mm.
So I think it is bad up and society needs to start dealing with it.
If you're just joining us, you're welcome. It's the Morning Crossfire. We're looking at low-level corruption on the show today. Dr. Brown Ogbeifo is joining us via the telephone. I'm Sheriff Quadri. You can feel free to join the conversation, though, because this conversation is not just between me and Dr. Brown alone. You can join the conversation as well. Let's know what you think on our social media, where we're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube right now, Nigeria Info 99.3. We'd love to take your thought as well via the telephone, but that will be much later on. But right now, you can send me your thought via WhatsApp. The WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. Dr. Brown, let's talk about the emergence. Let's talk about the start. How did it all start? Where did it start? What caused it?
Well, my dear brother and Nigerians listening to us, it should be very difficult taking a timeline from where it started, or a cutoff from where it really started. But I do know that when we were growing up, for instance, our parents didn't know to see any teachers on our behalf. They did not need to pay teachers outside the lessons that we normally take after school. Some of us didn't even take lessons. I didn't take lessons, for instance. And yet we are where we are today. Our parents didn't need to now start calling a friend to give us admission. All right? And that was just in the 60s. And if I look at the 60s to where we are now, you do the subtraction. We could barely just say that, okay, in the last 40, 35 years, things have been changing for the worse. But people talk about the causes of corruption at the lower ladder of the populace, for instance. They've ascribed it to increasing level of poverty, all right? Which is corruption that is fueled by poverty, which occurs because the basic need of the common man has not been met. The poor have become so desperate, therefore, to cut corners and to make ends meet. Then there is another one that I believe is so terrible. When some of us went to school, we went to school under the pre-education program of the Awolowo time in the West.
Okay.
Because that was what I knew then. Right. And when I was doing also my, when I was in the tertiary institution, for instance, I found out that we had meals at our beck and call, at very small amount at that time. But we now have widespread poverty of the mind. Why? Our school system has broken down. People go through school. Schools don't go through them. When you look at what people take out of school as at now, they take out the bad of values. All right? And then people have come to accept corruption as a way of life, even by the populace themselves. I remember when we were talking about NDDC issues somewhere, and some of the people were discussing said, "Abemo na lead this issue, not be with money. Which one concern una? Na Niger Delta money, and na Niger Delta people, now they talk about this thing. Na them, so which one be una concern?" You can see the mind of that person. That person wasn't an illiterate when we're discussing.
Okay.
Somebody who went to school. But for him, it is our money, and so you can share it. But he has forgotten that is our common word that only few people are sharing. Then we also have weak governed institutions. You may say that we have ICPC, we have EFCC, and so on and so forth. When you look at the last 2-3 months or 4 months, and what has happened in EFCC, and about change of leadership, not change of leadership, and how we went about it, judiciary sometimes last year, you know that our institutions are not really strong. Then we have the issue of greed and avarice from the people. All right? Because if you are in a public space and you have not stolen money, and you go to your village and you start pushing your car every morning and everybody helps you to push it, and maybe you were a local government chairman, they say, "See, when your people did it, and so they may have been milking on the warrior." What does that tell you? Society itself has come to accept corruption as a way of life. Then you have poor education, like I said, and illiteracy. You have monopolization of the market space. What do I mean? You cannot sell tomato, for instance, freely if you don't belong to a union. You can't sell garri if you don't belong to a union. You cannot sell ABC because the organizer. Everywhere is unionized. And so you have overregulation of the things and unionization of everything. And what does that mean? That now means that the money that people will have made are used on extraneous issues or matters. And so in bid to now cut corners, people now do all manners of things. Then we have lost our societal values. Like I said, when you look at the 60s and early 70s to about 80s, you can still say things were still better. But my brother, where we are today is really rough and tough. There is lack of trust in our political leadership. And so when you put all these it's not about blaming the military. Yeah. It's not about blaming the political elite. It's about blaming the system, even society itself. What have we done to turn the good leaf from the family unit that we all talked about?
Right.
If, for instance, you educate your children and you reorientate them and tell them that, look, no matter what level it is, please, when you go to school, you don't need to giraffe to pass paper. If you don't pass it, my dear, we'll see that you do it all over again. That moral standard has fallen, all right? So to begin with, for instance, we need civic education, even out to the primary school level. Parents in the home, they have roles to play. Unions and towns associations, we have roles to play. An Agbero, for instance, I call them Agbero, please, because that is the usual name.
Yeah.
When you go to the park and you want to take a public transport, you load the car. It has about just 4, all right? And the park, the people that are taking the money, take one assuming you are paying 2,500 for a passenger, uh-huh. you take 2,500 from that man who has loaded, all right? Mm-hmm. The man is the one that is going to repair his car. He's left with about 7,500. He's going to buy fuel. By the time he finishes buying fuel, you can imagine how much is remaining. Mm. He goes on a rough road. The roads are not built. He changes his tire rods. He changes it. So when you look at what we are doing to ourselves as even citizens, I think we've been unduly very fair. Mm-hmm. So unions and town associations need to come together, therefore, to be thinking about what to do to reduce that level of corruption. Mm-hmm. Integrity in the fight against corruption is winning.
Do you think, Dr. Brown, do you think that we are aware of how rife corruption at the grassroots has been? Because it's looking like we're living in self-denial. It's almost like we cannot do any wrong when it comes to the grassroots and corruption, because there will always be an excuse for it. Do you think we are aware, Dr. Brown?
Thank you so very much. Yes, people may not be aware, but remember that I did say that we have accepted it as our way of life. All right? And when you call people's attention to it, they tell you that what of those who are in high places?
Uh-huh.
You see, uh-huh. that type of thing is like accepting that you are a thief.
Hmm.
All right?
Hmm.
But we all go to churches. We all go to mosques. Even those who don't do, they also have esoteric centers where they worship. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And none of this, even when you are worshiping the idol, none of these worshiping in spiritual high places accept stealing as a way of life.
Hmm.
So, you find out that we justify it, that those in high places do them. And then, because people have accepted it as a way of life, as a structure in their lives, as institutionalizing it also, the media, therefore, there needs to be an advocacy, not just by individuals. What you have done this morning, you have called attention to it,
mm-hmm.
but we need to do it more often,
mm-hmm.
all right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the media,
yes, we should do it more.
Framework for,
right.
for the adoption of positive values.
Right.
The National Orientation Agency, I'm sorry to say, I think they need to do a little bit more work.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are preaching to society and advocating to society, what do we advocate for? Because people go to worship centers. All they hear, they do all night because they want to fight one demon or the other.
Mm.
They want miracles to happen. Mm. Manners ended in the wilderness long ago.
Mm.
I am not saying miracles don't happen, but even the books tell us that faith without work is not supported by God.
Mm.
You must work for that faith. And then you also need to work to cut into that your faith, all right?
Right.
So
right.
we need to start preaching some level of hard work.
Mm.
And you preach it today, they tell you that the son of that person that is there, how much hard work has he done? You forget about that person. We want to start it from a level. Start it with yourself. Start it with your home. Start it with your brothers and sisters. We need honesty to be able to do it. And when we need to start eliminating those multiple agents in the chain of distribution,
right.
and spiritual leaders have a great role to play in making the people know that they need hard work. They need honesty. They also need faith. Because we know that Abraham, that we say today,
Dr. Brown,
is our father. Yes,
let's
I don't want to land.
Let's go to break. This advert will not let you land, Dr. Brown. It will cut us off. Let's go to break very quickly, then you can land then, right?
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
This is Morning Crossfire. On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
And we're back on your radio once again here on the Morning Crossfire, the first one for the month of February. Happy new month to you once again. I'm Sharif Quadri. We're live right now on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. This morning, we have a very, very important conversation that we've been having right from 5 a.m. up until now, although, you know, different sides to it all. But this morning's conversation is about low-level corruption. Those actions, those attitudes that we exhibit we're not even conscious of what we're doing. I mean, if we're looking at curbing or fighting corruption, everybody has got a role to play. And this morning we are performing our role by calling attention, by, you know, directing your mind, your thoughts, your consciousness to that area. Dr. Brown Ogbeifo is here with me on the show this morning to discuss that. Dr. Brown, thank you for holding the line this morning. Dr. Brown, are you there? Dr. Brown, can you hear me? Okay, we can't hear Dr. Brown, but we'll bring him back. Don't worry, we'll bring him back. While we wait to reestablish contact with Dr. Brown, let me go. I think I have some thoughts that have come in, quite a number of thoughts that have come in on our socials this morning. Let's start with Facebook, where we're streaming live right now. Dr. Brown is about to rejoin us. Ige, Marvelous on Facebook says, how do you expect students who see the same teacher that taught them examination malpractice and aid them in that corrupt act in their WAEC examination hall to go on with a strong stance against corruption? Corruption is not a part and parcel of our what? Let's see if we can. Okay. Yeah. This one is... Okay, yeah, got it back. Corruption is now part and parcel of our nation, almost in every sphere. We have a system that applauds corrupt practices and detests those who stand for the right. Without a paradigm shift in the way things are done currently, I'm afraid we might be heading to the ditch as a nation. That's Ige Marvelous with that long one. Thank you, Ige, for that your thought. Dr. Brown is with us right now. Dr. Brown, thank you for rejoining us.
Thank you.
All right. So you were going to land on, you know, the role that we all play.
Yes, I was on the role of the church, for instance,
right,
and the spiritual homes,
right,
worship centers, mm-hmm, and I was using Abraham, our father of faith, that we all want to be like, mm-hmm, in upholding our faith, mm-hmm, and making to come to pass what we hope for, that is unseen.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing is that even when faith, when Abraham had that faith, he has a corresponding responsibility of the roles he was supposed to play, which he had to play for those things to come to pass. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example.
Yes, please.
When he was supposed to have taken his own son to the slaughter, he obeyed. Mm-hmm. All right?
Mm-hmm.
In which case, that was something that God wanted him to do.
Mm-hmm.
So your faith, therefore, must be followed, you know, with some level of work that you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
When God told Abraham, leave your father's land, go to where I'm going to show you,
mm-hmm,
he did not argue with God.
Mm-hmm.
He was very obedient. The question, therefore, is, even when our unions tell us not to do what we do, are we obedient to them?
Mm-hmm.
Are we obedient to our government, for instance?
Mm-hmm.
I know that people will say that even those in government, are they better off? But no, what we are saying now is that we need a paradigm shift right from the home, right from the family unit, because we measure society by the quality of life within its own society, within society. So our homes must be a replica of goodness in everything we do. So we must start that. Then we need to also begin to advocate for all this anywhere we find ourselves.
Right.
Be an ambassador of what you want the other person to be an ambassador of goodness. If you are selling in the market, I can tell you that cheating that you just embarked on, you're going to pay for it someday. It's a law of cause and effect, all right? And that will tell you that no matter how long people have been doing that, they also do not progress beyond certain level,
yeah,
because it's mundane.
Mm.
What they are doing, therefore, has no spiritual backing. We must be honest for us to be to also be blessed.
Right.
So I think that from the level of the home,
right,
level of the media, our schools, our churches, our mosques, esoteric centers, wherever you have them, we need now to start telling ourselves some basic truth that we have lost it.
Yeah.
We need to all come back.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a matter of one person. We have all sinned. And I think time has come for us to go for that restitution and ask God, forgive us, from now on, want to do it well.
Mm, indeed. Now, let's go to the telephone, Dr. Brown. When we take some phone calls, I will come back to you with my next question, which is very germane to this conversation. 0700-993-993-993. That is 0700-993-993-993. We also have thoughts that are coming on our socials, so we'll be taking those thoughts as we take the telephone. Joy Forever on Twitter, for instance, says corruption has been taken as norm. Dr. Brown has said it all. It is only in Nigeria you buy something and sales agent will be expecting to keep change or buy sweets with remaining change. Go to our passports, driver's license and ID card offices. So easy abroad to get. That's the Joy Forever on Twitter. Bimbo Seriki on Twitter says, when someone, and he mentioned the name of the person, came back from prison, PDP faithfuls went over to welcome him. They even picked Ashwebi. Imagine. Same for ex-Delta State Governor. Bimbo Seriki put that across. Simon is joining us from First Tag this morning. Simon, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to you.
See, the whole thing started when you know, when 419 started, it was like, if you are not into 419, you are not happening. And before we knew it, you know, morale starts decaying. You know, even parents will pay for special centers for their children to write JAMB examinations.
Right.
You know, so if you look at it, it starts from the family.
Okay.
Most families now, you send a little boy on errand, he'll tell you, bros, you go see me. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So it has become a way of life. This present need now, in local government secretariat where they do registration,
yeah,
they sell the form. People pay as much as 10,000, 5,000. Is this supposed to be so?
And that's the corruption we're talking about.
You see, to deal with it in your own little circle, in your own little circle, if you can't fight corruption in your own little circle, there is no way we can fight it on the broader circle.
Yeah, that's right, Simon. Thank you so much, Simon, but we need to move on quickly. Oluwaseun is here. Oluwaseun, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Morning to you.
Now, this topic this morning, I think, is something that we need to keep saying every day as long as we want change.
Right.
Because virtually all the systems, you know, going to the market, even when you buy something of 100 naira, you don't trust what you
exactly.
You believe that it is either something or somewhere. Imagine you go to market to buy garri and you get them to measure it and you realize that you paid for a pint. When you get them, you measure it and it's more or less like half. But right there, the woman measure a pint, you just get to realize that there are systems beneath at which the way they do their measurement. So the change, we all need to start a change from ourselves. If the market woman can start, if the taxi driver can start something, even if we students can stop making some silly payments to some unnecessary lecturers, before this we will be able to cover this. Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you, Oluwaseun, for calling me. I appreciate your thought. Please take care of yourself. Okay, I heard some noise in the background. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to
my
you.
My name is Francis.
Welcome, Francis. What are you calling for?
Yeah, I'm calling from Igondu.
Good to have you, Francis. Go on.
Yeah, thank you. Please, I want to make my little contribution. And although I quite agree with everything the doctor said.
Okay.
All these things started decaying when government took our schools from missionaries. When government took our schools from missionaries, no more religious studies, no more supervision of our moral attitude. This is where this whole thing started. And in fact, only by God's grace can we come back to our previous condition. Thank you very much.
Thank you too, Francis, for calling me. I appreciate it. We'll take one more, then we'll go to Dr. Brown. Okay, I think we lost that call. Do try and call us back if you can, right? So let's jump on another one. Good morning to you.
Morning, Harry.
Morning to you. Please, what's your name?
My name is David.
David, talk to me. Talk to me.
Yeah. You see, everything started like your guest said that we human beings refuse to develop on the mind of obeying God. And parents now start failing in their duty to put godliness in the mind of their children.
Right.
God said you should start it immediately you win them from the breast. And when we fail in this respect, then the devil now brings his own character. And this character are formed within the age of
how about year to 12 years. David, I hear you, but how about men of God who are corrupt as well? Are you saying that they did not hear the word of God? Oh, darling, who do you blame in that instance?
Men of God too, the ones that are corrupt among them might have passed through the same thing I'm talking about. But they just try to put themselves into that system. Then secondly, money is a very powerful instrument. Before, we normally exchange our goods. People were involved in hard work.
Yeah.
They exchange goods. But now that money has been accepted as a medium of exchange, people now decide to look for money instead of go and work.
David, thank you for your thought. I appreciate it. Dr. Brown, let me come back to you because we need to begin to wrap off right now. But let's start. Let's start with this question here, right here in front of me. Maybe because we don't know the effect of low-level corruption, that's why most people don't pay attention to it. You mentioned it in passing the other time that you can't get away with it, whether you like it or not. I mean, thinking that you've shortchanged somebody, you don't know that you can't actually get away with it. So it come back to you. But tell us, in clear terms, Dr. Brown, what are those effects that this low-level corruption is having on our daily lives, on our livelihood, on the nation generally?
Thank you so very much. The first thing that happens is that if you have a visitor into any of our market spaces, some of our filling stations, for instance, when they go there and a lot of manipulations go on, all right, the impression they go away with is that, oh, this country is inherently very corrupt. But remember that I did say that corruption is a global citizen.
Very true.
I remember that when I went to New York, because I can say this because it happened to me sometimes. That was sometimes ago when I went for a conference.
Okay.
And I joined a cab because I didn't know at the airport, unpainted taxi. He took me to my hotel and charged me $100. Mm. All right?
Mm.
Now, when we got to class the following morning and we were just discussing how was it, we found out that one of the guys that joined the yellow cab paid only $50.
Oh.
And I said, oh, so that guy took $100 from me, took me around as if it was a very far distance from where I was. Unknown to us, somebody in the same class was also scanned, you know, for $350.
Oh, my.
Another one, $200. So it is not just a Nigerian thing.
Mm-hmm.
But however, I can tell you that if we had reported those cases, all right, they would deal with it. So when people come into our climb and they find out that things happen and yet we cannot address them, first, it is that our image is battered. The second aspect of it is that when you want to do business from here, they look at you with that kind of eyes of, these guys can never be clean. And that matters a lot. Thirdly, you are also shortchanging people of the little money that they have. A man that has come to buy Gary to be, you know, to feed his family, only to find out that what you have given unto him is half of what he has paid for. Even if that man does not swear for you, or if he did not swear for you, for God's sake, the Bible makes us understand, or the Holy Scriptures make us understand that we are little gods. His spirit will definitely say something, and you are going to pay for it. And you are going to be training your children with that kind of money that you got. And so when you look at the ripple effect on society, when you train your children with money made from corruption, what do you think are going to come to that children? They are not like to come out well. So is it surprising, therefore, that we are having a lot of sons and daughters today in Nigerian space not doing well, even when you put it? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying.
I'm with you completely.
So
I'm with you.
That's the very terrible thing that can happen to a nation. And so when you have most of the people that are trained with corrupt funds, they don't come out so well, and then society won't come out well. And then at the end of the day, we start blaming those who are in governance, whereas we have also perpetrated a thing that has rained causes directly or indirectly at us. People don't see that, and that is why we need to start talking about it.
Right.
Then lastly, on this issue of how does it affect us, it means that our conscience, you know, conscience of those who do it is deadened. They don't have conscience. And a conscienceless nation cannot develop. And if you can't develop, you can't have the good things that others have. That is not the kind of thing we want Nigeria to be. Therefore, we must do things that do not make, you know, people lay curses on us directly or indirectly, so that we can also begin to make upward movement. People may think that what I'm saying, oh, don't mind him, it doesn't happen. But like I said, whatever you sow, you are going to reap. You can't run away from it. It's law of karma. It's known everywhere. And I appeal to Nigeria, therefore, we must change our paradigm. Right from the person that is speaking to you now, from those who have made calls this morning, can we introspect and ask ourselves, where did we ever do something like this? So that we can start correcting it.
Right.
Those of us who listen this morning, it means that your session has helped us to understand that this thing affects us spiritually and otherwise, physically and otherwise. Until we change it, therefore, our nation is not likely to move forward. And because it now complicates the fact that those who are going to rise from us into leadership positions in future are also from us. Mm-hmm. Leaders in society are the outlook of the society they have come from.
Right.
They are not from the moon. They are from us. So why do you blame them? Because these are things that they have been used to right from when they were children. Mm. How do you think you want to change them when they are where they are, especially when we don't have strong institutions to deal with them? Mm. I think it affects us greatly as a nation, as a people, and time has come for us to change the trajectory.
Right. Let's take some calls in. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Okay, I think we lost that call. Nigeria Info, good morning. Good morning to you. Yes, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
We can hear you. Good morning to you.
Sheriff, this is Abakeling calling from City Lab Bariga.
Welcome.
Sheriff, do you know that corruption is worse than COVID-19?
It is.
Do you know that corruption...
Oh, we lost that call. They try and call me back. All right. Nigeria Info. Oh, I think we lost that call as well. Calls are dropping. But let's see if we can squeeze in this one. After this one, we go to social media. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning to you.
I'm Robert again.
Welcome, Robert. Welcome.
The fact is that you cannot fight corruption.
We cannot fight corruption.
You cannot fight. You can only reduce it. You understand?
I think you're saying that we cannot eliminate it, just reduce it.
Yes. Okay. You cannot eliminate corruption. Okay. Corruption is everywhere. Mm. You see, corruption should not be looked at only when a policeman collects 20 naira or any amount of money. Eh? You see, I've once worked in an organization where these India people, we register one company and they have about 7 under them.
Mm.
Don't register in the Corporate Affairs Commission.
Mm.
You understand?
Yeah.
So, you see, I will not tell the Lebanese man that we take you to a position and we'll be telling you the ID number is with him and we call you if you are wrong. So, see, my brother, we can only try our best to reduce it, but to eliminate it, as you said, is impossible.
All right, and thank you, Robert, for calling. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Good morning
to you.
This is Remy.
Remy, welcome. Talk to me.
Let me give this analogy. You are the anchor of this program. One of the rules is to call us to do power words, and you are leading by example.
Mm.
Imagine you using power words. You can't tell callers not to use the word.
Mm.
And there are consequences.
Mm.
If anybody calls in and you power words, you cut him off and ban him from your station.
We don't necessarily ban people.
No, I'm just... at least,
okay.
You don't probably go far. Maybe the person starts calling in over and over again. Do that. You have measures by dealing with that.
Yeah.
It hasn't stopped, but it has reduced people doing that.
Right.
You are able to control system. That is the mechanism of what government should be. There is no way you can stop people from not behaving badly
right.
in every society. But there should be measures on ground. You should expect the other man on the street who you didn't elect into position to handle security, electricity, social welfare, infrastructure. You didn't elect them into power. You elected people into power to set things right.
Mm.
We cannot have a governor who is sorry to even kickback, telling us not to do that. Even if I choose not to do that, others will do that.
Mm.
So leadership must set example. It is not just like everybody should. Everybody cannot repent altogether at the world.
Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to the scripture, greatest of Jesus Christ, they turn away from sin. Has that stopped people from sinning? No. But there should be measures on ground thereby the government.
Punitive measures.
Here you get.
Right.
If there are no consequences, you can't tell people to be out.
Rami, I hear you loud and clear. Thank you so much for talking to me. We need to begin to pack our bags right now. But Dr. Brown, we need to go. But before I allow you go, I need you to speak to everybody listening to this show right now, because it's important that we speak truth to ourselves on how they can begin. Now, let me tell you why I'm asking you this question.
Yes.
The question will be that they're all forced to doing what they're doing because the economy is bad. They need to survive. They need to pay school fees. They need to pay house rent. They need to feed. And then whatever it is that they're trading in, they can't even make ends meet. It's very hard, very difficult to make profit off of what they're taking in because this tax collector will come, these area boys will come down and will collect everything from them. But the only way that they can put food on the table for them and their family is to, do what they're doing. Please tell us exactly how can we start. How can we begin in 2 minutes, Dr. Brown?
Thank you so very much. I think I want to thank all those who have contributed, who've done so well. One of the things we need to do is the fact that we need to start from ourselves. For instance, you are supposed to be on a queue and you are jumping in. That one doesn't have anything to do with government and regulations.
True.
Right.
True.
Huh?
True.
You're supposed to start work by 7:30. You come at 9:30. That one has nothing to do with government.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with you. But however, haven't started with yourself and your immediate family, or haven't started with ourselves and our immediate family, government needs now to provide the enabling environment. Somebody talks about consequent management. I think that is lacking in our political and socioeconomic spaces.
Right.
And that needs to start.
Right.
For
right.
instance, the the unions, for right. instance, who are in charge of all these sellers, who are in charge of regulating them, for they must also step up to ensure that their members do the right thing.
Right.
I do not honestly totally subscribe that though poverty is one of the reasons driving people to do this. But I want to say that if poverty drives you to do the wrong thing, and you know that at the end of the day, you will pay for it, either yourself or your future generation, why must you do it? So don't let poverty drive you into a situation where you are going to do the wrong thing that will haunt you in future. You might have been gone, and your children are not doing so well because of what you have done. It has an effect on you. We need to be able to think about that. So government has a role to play, like we said. Our spiritual fathers have a role to play. The family unit have a role to play. Schools have a role to play. Media have a role to play in advocating for what is good, in advocating for honesty, integrity, hard work, all right, and working smart. That does not mean that you are working smart. Does not now mean that you need to cut corners in such a way to affect the other person. Right. Because the slides you are taking from the other person is making him to cry.
Very true.
And I don't think that any society can survive that on a large
scale. Dr. Brown, thank you so much for joining us on The Crossfire today. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Always, always a pleasure.
Thank you so very much, and God bless you.
You too, Dr. Brown. Thank you. Lagos, that's how far we can go on the show.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.